This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City.
I'm a little red-faced tonight.
That's because you've been out in the Sahara Desert.
That it feels like it.
Oh, my gosh. When is this heat? It's going to stop.
Man, October, the reason we have ACL and Formula One at the end of the year is because the temperature goes down. Everybody complained.
I keep telling Formula One, if they keep backing it up further into October, they're going to have a meltdown because it was an insane heat out at COTA today.
I can't believe it. I mean, and same with ACL. I mean, I feel for them because, all those 16-year-olds, pass it out.
Yeah, they're now saying it's a cold front. It's going to be in the 70s tomorrow. I'm gonna laugh when it's 90 for the high tomorrow because it's going to go from 100.
I might go outside finally.
Hey, this is John Massengill. That's Jonathan Green. Les Kaiser is off this weekend. Give us a call tonight.
How do you get a day off on Speed City?
You just don't show up.
Okay, I'll work on that one.
You just don't show up.
Okay.
Give us a call tonight. 512-643-LIVE. 512-643.
We'll teach you how not to show up.
Yeah. 512-643-5483. Tonight.
No, I'm not Gene. I'm Gunther.
He's gone to apologize to Gunther for calling him Gene.
Yeah.
Lindsey Vonn coming by. American Skier.
Well, he got that right.
Or maybe he's gone back to Monaco. Who knows?
He's probably in Monaco now with Lindsay. Well, I don't think she's got a boyfriend anymore.
Well, yeah. I don't know how Les's wife would feel about that.
But, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She is Lindsey Vonn. She probably...
She might. Oh, we're going straight to hell for that one.
All right. So we're going to talk some motorsports tonight.
Yes.
We're going to talk some Formula One, some MotoGP.
I want to talk about the 8th wonder of the world.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about Marc Marquez. And we're going to talk a little Trans Am tonight.
Heck yeah.
That's what was going on at COTA. A little SVRA. Shoot, man, we're going to go all up and down the... I'm thinking what else we got.
And we got an interview with the champion of Trans Am, which is good. And we've also got... I want to introduce one of the rookies of Trans Am. She's a badass, and we'll talk about her too.
I got to take my oldest son. I say Tay. He went with me.
He took you, old man.
That's really the case, because he is now... You know, I, as of a couple of years ago, got the car bug full on, like full on.
So the 20 years you invested into his room with pictures and Tonka toys.
None of it took effect till he moved out. And then all of a sudden, he's the world's biggest car guy.
Well, it's his idea now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, he and I spent the weekend, today, the whole day out at COTA for SVRA, looking at all the eye candy. Just amazing.
I have to say, I really do enjoy that event. And in fact, I think the COTA staff enjoy that event a little bit because it is laid back.
Yeah.
There were over 330 vintage cars there.
How many paddocks were there?
I guess that 3.5.
Yeah.
But Tony Perella, who runs SVRA, I had a nice chat with him, and what a organization it is. It's quite stunning, and it's beautiful because there's like 10 different groups of vintage cars, and those guys hoon around. I saw a completely crushed Corvette.
Oh,
we've had a few yellow flags where cars either broke down or crashed out. You know, they're hooning around, and it's a lot of fun to be there. It was just a bit hot today, but it's a great event.
Yeah, the SVRA, Sports Car Vintage Racing Association, Trans Am was kind of I don't know which one was the marquee. I'm assuming Trans Am, right?
I mean, yes, but
doesn't really matter.
They're so different. I mean, Trans Am is the oldest continuous motorsport in America, 53 years old, and that's a great age to be. But it's got steeped
older than NASCAR.
Yes.
Huh.
And it's continuous, and it's gone through its ups and downs. It's not what it was back in the 70s of, you know, where it was the motorsport. But it still has a real intrigue to it because it's still relevant. It's still got the grand marquees, marks of Ford and Chevrolet and Dodge and so on. And it's still pure racing. No ABS.
Yep.
Trick bits, no sequential gearboxes. Yep. It's just out and out muscle car racing, and you know it when you see it.
No stability control.
No, it's proper racing.
Yeah, and I love the classes because I know there's the unlimited one, the TA, and then there's TA2, which is
correct,
kind of their
which
big.
Which is limited to 550.
Yeah, 550 horsepower. But
and then you've got SGT, which came. We went from TA3 and TA4 this year to calling it SGT, which makes more sense, which is Super GT, and then GT.
You know what my favorite part was? It was standing on the bridge out there, the screaming noise.
The Mustang.
Of all of the cars.
Yeah,
you could tell the difference between every single car coming down.
Yes, it's not that.
It's not.
I had this same conversation with my cameraman today.
Casey, that was the best use of that sound ever. Because it's the antithesis of
I'm
what
gonna
we're
I'm going to record you some Trans Am, buddy. I'm going to bring it in. But that's the thing. I mean, you know, you listen to one sound of that electric and you think, oh, man, that's not it. That's not racing.
I know. But the sound of those cars, I mean, they were ear splitting. You kind of forget.
And fire flaming.
Fire flaming, ear splitting, drama inducing.
That's
fun.
Another thing my cameraman Logan, he goes, lots of fire in that shot. There you go. That's what I'm talking
listen,
about.
Wait. Yeah.
Now play the electric.
Contrast that with...
Yeah. Which one do you want, folks? Call us on 512-643-5483.
One that reminds
we'll decide.
Reminds you of going to the dentist or one that reminds you of your youth?
Yeah, no kidding.
It was a blast this weekend. You're right. This is one of my favorites. And every kind of car, though. You know, there was GT40s there, original GT40s with racing history.
And you know what? There was a really good single-seater class, which had a lot of F4 and pre-road to Indy cars. I was talking to one guy, and it was like 2003, which doesn't seem that far back, but, you know, that's an old car now.
Yeah, especially the way the automotive industry is moving right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the cars of 5 years ago compared to now, I mean, look at this horsepower war we're in right now. Mm. I mean, it's getting to be... Where fast cars, they're not even focusing on the horsepower because we've gone way beyond what you can really use on the street, right? How much more? But But the technology. So yeah, a car that's 5 years old is a dramatically different from a brand new road car. So.
Hey, we're a few weeks out, man. Formula One, it's coming to town.
I know.
Santa Claus is coming.
You know what? That's about right for us.
It is.
But yeah, speaking of COTA, we are what? How many days now? So we're just inside 30 days because it's November 3rd, and the United States Grand Prix coming back since now 2012.
When you say it's November 3rd, that was Thursday. I know you're living in the past, but.
Well, yeah. No, I'm saying November 3rd is
October 3rd.
Three days ago was October 3rd, which is exactly 30 days. So we're just inside 30 days coming to COTA. So, I mean, what do we think about the evolution? I did hear from a local ticket vendor that tickets are very strong.
In fact,
he emailed me just to tell me that, and he doesn't normally.
No, and I was talking to sales at COTA the other day, and they said that there's a buzz in the air because the ticket sales are up. Now, Imagine Dragons and Pink are a big part of that. But
that's not Taylor Swift, Timberlake.
Not.
So no. I love the fact that it's not because of Taylor Swift.
And I actually said to the sales guys, what do you think it is? And they said, it's just been a particularly good season. And it's true. It has been a good Formula One season.
Ever since Paul Ricard. Ever since then.
And Charles Leclerc.
Yep. I mean, but think about it.
The first half was all Mercedes, and then the second half, that's something we should talk about, is what happened to Mercedes.
We will. We're going to talk what happened to Mercedes. We're going to talk about Ferrari last weekend, all these insane decisions that they made. I think that you're right. I mean, as far as COTA's concerned, the season couldn't have turned at a better moment because it turned, and then it's leading up to Austin. Who knows? I mean, we could get a championship decided here, but...
True.
That's not necessarily what I want. I mean, it could be a good thing for Austin, I suppose, so I'm not going to argue
with that. Well, it's also interesting. It's back-to-back with Mexico, which is good and bad, but it means we've got a real concentration over 2 weeks here at the same time, midday or, you know, over the afternoon of a Sunday, where people can focus on Formula One back-to-back.
I've got a question for you. You've been with the Traveling Circus as a pit reporter for ESPN a little while back. Talk about the leading up to a race. We got back-to-back races like this, being able to come into town early, because that's probably what'll happen.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
They're going to be in Mexico a week before they come to Austin.
Yeah, and I think because everybody loves coming to Austin, I think, without all due respect, Mexico City's great too, but I think people will come Sunday night, Monday morning. I'm taking a trip to NASA on Tuesday. We've got our event Wednesday with the F4 boys. We're going to do an esports event. I think this will be a full-on week of Formula One potential. And I think you're right. I think there'll be a lot of guys coming in early, a lot of journalists coming in early, getting their feet under the table, so to speak. And it might lead to more stories and more buzz. I hope the TV companies and the radio stations get more involved this time. But I do think there is a buzz, no question. And hopefully... The temperature will go down.
If the temperature doesn't go down by then, I don't know. I don't know what the heck's going to happen. But yeah, no, it's got to. The temperature will be fine by then. So
the rallycross guys were complaining too last weekend. It was hot then.
Well, it may be hot, but it won't be Africa hot like it has been. So
yeah,
it will be better for sure. But let's talk a little Formula One. I mean, what do you want to say? I'm thinking Ferrari because let's start with that.
Yeah.
Because last week the Ferrari ended up not winning. There's so much to this with Ferrari, with strategy and the way they treated the drivers.
But go on.
I was just going to say the one to me was when they told Vettel he had his power unit went out, and they said pull over right then. And I was thinking, well, they're handing the race to Mercedes by doing that.
Yeah, but you thought about that. They were thinking of something completely different. They didn't think what they should have done is spent a lap or at least. Maybe another 60 seconds. But the decision was knee-jerk. Oh, our MGU's gone. If we keep going on and the temperatures keep rising, we could lose an engine, which could kill any chance we've got of competing for the right, you know, that.
I guarantee you that was part of it. But the story that they're saying, which is the right way, and that is they were saying it was a safety issue for Sebastian Vettel.
As in,
maybe it catches fire or something. They just quoted.
I wish you would. I mean, you know, emotionally.
Yeah, because they're saying it was a safety issue, and there's a story on Autosport.
And there is. I'm sure there's some veracity to that. And of course, you know, given a bit of thought, Ferrari obviously weren't doing it because they thought, oh, hey, if we do this, we'll give Hamilton time, and you know, they got unlucky. That's how I interpret that. And they made a decision on the hoof, which is what you got to do. You have split seconds to do it. And in this case, it was unfortunate.
But hasn't that been Ferrari? They make the wrong, on the hoof, as you put it, in the moment, they got to make a decision right there.
Now you go to the bigger issue.
Yeah, but let me read this from, because Ferrari, Binotto says, it said, we had a problem on the hybrid side of the power unit. He says, we had a loss of insulation in the car, and for safety reasons,
that's it, then.
We had to stop immediately. He said,
now, and that's
it's a shame
enough.
Because 100 meters later, we had the pit lane, but the safest action we could do for Vettel was safety is first and stop the car.
And I don't know whether that's PR speak or if it's a genuine insulation problem and there is a fear that it could lead to potentially a catastrophic failure or a fire of some sort. Absolutely. You've got to stop the car immediately. And we were there. I mean, and he did. He did exactly that. But we all looked up and went, well, hang on a minute. He's only a couple of corners off the pits.
And to preserve the win for Leclerc. Would have absolutely, probably 90% chance Leclerc would have won the race.
And they got unlucky. Your buddy, Mark Priestley, I thought was interesting when he said that one of the reasons may be...
My buddy.
Well, he is your buddy.
I'm a fan.
You're a fan. You're a fanboy. But he's good. He's very good. And he was saying that one of the reasons he just pitted, remember? So... That's the time the temperatures go up and down. If you've got constant wind and constant aerodynamics over the car, it can keep at the temperature you want it to be. But once you're in the pits, even if it's a long pit stop or a short pit stop, and the temperature changes, that's when you get fluctuations, and that's when the problems start. So they got unlucky, but let's go to the bigger problem.
Let's go to a break first, and then we're going to go to the bigger problem.
Right,
we have a problem.
Let's go to a break first.
We need to go to a break, but I want to hear what you're saying about Ferrari and all the decisions they've been making.
Is Geico in our break?
Do we have Geico as a sponsor now?
No, but I can do a voice like a lizard.
All right, you're listening to Speed City live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Talk 13-7, the right choice. So where's your place if you are wrong? In all the right ways, all my underdogs. We will never be anything but loud. And nitty gritty, dirty little freaks. Won't you come on and raise your...
Hello, I'm Jenny Gale from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Speed City.
BBC F1, as a reminder, we do a Formula One pre-race show live and a Formula One post-race show live every Formula One weekend across the USA. And go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out how to listen to that.
And they also play the BBC's qualifying. So if you miss qualifying on ESPN, you can listen on the radio.
On the radio. If you're ever in the car, especially, and you've got a certain kind of radio, go to our website. Speed
God, City. You're cryptic.
SpeedCityBroadcast.com.
You're getting serious tonight, aren't you?
I am getting serious.
We're going to call her.
All right. Well,
Hold the fort.
Hold the phone. Hold the fort. All right. We have somebody from Austin. We got Mike from Austin. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Love the show.
Thanks, sir. What's going on?
Not much. Just I'm super excited about the Formula One coming to Austin, and I'm really looking at getting in that Turn 12 through 15 exchange. I just love that section of the track.
Where would you sit?
He just said 12 or 15.
That's a big area. Oh, that's okay. The whole
in the Dakota Club or the You know, I like to move around too, but that's where I like to camp out. That's where my base is.
I like the top.
But I like to go to.
Yeah.
I like the top of 15 if it's not too hot, right at the top there, mm-hmm. because you can look over the back and you can see turn one, and you can also see the mm-hmm. S's and watch them mm-hmm. dive over 10 and then look down and watch them come into the stadium.
Have you noticed how over the years, Coda and everybody's figured that out. Those tickets they get a little more expensive at the top of turn 15 every year. So everyone's figured that out, including Coda. That's all right. They should be charging more for those. Hey, so Mike, did you get out to Coda this weekend? It was awesome out there.
You know, I had ACL this weekend.
All right.
So
oh yeah,
I didn't make it out there. Yep. But I agree. The heat is kind of brutal right now, but I'm sure it'll cool down. But before the race, hopefully the rain will stay away and we'll have a nice dry weekend for F1.
Well, two questions. Who's your favorite band and who's your favorite Formula One team?
Well, I'm excited about seeing Imagine Dragons on Saturday. And I know they're awesome. I've seen them there at Coda at Austin 360 Amphitheater. And it was on fire. It was going off in the middle of summer.
Cool.
And it was nice. But I'm definitely rooting for, I used to be kind of a Red Bull and Sebastian Vettel, but now, and, you know, with all the success of Mercedes and all that, I'm kind of going for Ferrari, you know. I'm kind of rooting for some other teams. Yeah.
Well, okay, let me mix both of those. What has happened mm-hmm. to the ex-four-time world champion from Red Bull? Now at Ferrari, is Vettel not the man he used to be, or is he going through a bad patch? He just doesn't seem to be the sort of invincible Vettel of the past.
I was putting so much of it on the car. Lewis Hamilton is great driver, super great, but I was putting so much of their success on the car, and just like Vettel had it with Infiniti and the Red Bull during his run, you know. So I don't think it's him, but drivers do get into slumps, you know, just like any athlete.
I still think that it's a mental thing with Vettel because you've seen he can still be crazy fast, right? So I don't feel like it's a loss of skill. He's not that old yet, but like when he made the mistake 2 weeks ago when he spun off the track and then immediately drove right back on. So his mind was just completely out of whack. He knew that he'd made a mistake and he drove right on the track. I mean, I think it's a mental thing with Vettel. That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like he's just gotten older and lost his skill set.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. Well, that's something to think about.
Hey, Mike,
sure.
I want to ask you, were you how long have you lived in Austin?
15 years.
Wow. So were you a Formula One fan before you moved here?
Actually, I was not. I became, for the very first year, I started following it. My brother races drag strip racing, you know, just amateur style. But, so I've always been a little bit of a, motorhead, gearhead a little bit. But I never followed the Formula One as closely as I have and since it has been here in Austin. I was so excited when it first came and I've been doing it every year since. So.
Well, how about, you said you're still looking for tickets. I don't have any turn 12 or 15, but I got a couple of general admission tickets with your name on them if you want them.
Oh, God bless you. Yes, sir. I'd take them in a heartbeat.
Awesome.
I got a family of four to feed.
Good for you.
Well, we're going to help you out halfway there with a couple of tickets, and we really appreciate you listening. That's fantastic.
Hey, and Mike, I don't know if you know this, but Circle Brewery, we do a car night once a month. Check it out on Facebook, our Speed City Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's a good meet and greet, and it doesn't matter what you drive. If you don't drive, I don't even take a car there. I got a truck, so I don't show off anything. Sure. But it's great to have a beer. Come join us. We'll chew the cud.
Definitely. I follow you on all the social media and definitely Facebook, Twitter.
Okay, cool.
You guys do a great service to the community, to the racing community, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
All the good work.
Yep. Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate you listening. Well, hang on the line and let our producer get your info.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Another happy customer.
Another,
No,
I just love to hear people that didn't follow motorsports that do now. We're converting them one at a time.
And you know what he says? The racing community, it's like Les says, it's always bubbled along. And you know this from living as long as you have here. And there's always, Texas, they love the cars.
Yeah.
They love racing, they love cars. AJ Foyt, Jim Hall, come on. This has got a huge history as Texas for racing. IndyCar races in Houston, Dallas, Formula One races. This has always been, did you know there are over 600, whether it be dirt tracks, midget tracks, racetracks, in Texas alone?
Including drag strips, I would imagine? Yeah. Well, I've been a gearhead since the day I was born. Always, forever. But I wasn't as much into racing. I was a drag racer in high school and after that. And I went out to Skip Barber and took the open wheel racing just because it was fun.
Sure.
But I was not a passionate motorsports fan. I always watched Indy 500 and I followed F1. But
you were a car guy.
I was a car guy. And I would,
still up.
Which, how many, what percentage of Americans are car guys and gals? A lot.
Oh, God.
Now, motorsports, you've had NASCAR and IndyCar, but I think this for sure changed me. I was not a huge F1 fan.
I know you said to me, I get a bit, being from Britain and also having been in Formula One or, as a journalist, you kind of get a bit blasé to it. Whereas for you, you were just stunned by this sort of internationalism and this confluence of difference compared to, let's say, American racing. Indy is its own thing, and it's brilliant in its own way. But Formula One is quite different technology-wise, and even the aspects of the racing, you love the strategy, and I know that side of it is something you hadn't seen in American racing, certainly not in NASCAR, and it's different in Indy.
And I'm still learning Formula One strategy. I've watched
25 years, learning.
I've watched every single race since 2012. No, before that, since 2011. But there's so much to learn, because Formula One changes every year too. The rules change, the cars change, the technology changes. Whether it's pit stops, fuel, everything changes year to year, and so you're constantly learning. But But I think,
by the way, we'll be doing the commentary, of course, at COTA. If anybody's listening and you got a question to find out of the Formula One weekend, we'll have a mic and we'll be roaming around. We'll be doing the big screen stuff. If you've got a question, we'll go ask it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're going to be on the mics out there. We're also going to be doing a radio broadcast right here on 1370, like we've done the last several years. So if you're, you know, if you're in the stands, you can catch it on the stream on the 1370 stream.
Well, I think that what people might enjoy is the post-race show.
Yeah.
Because you can get in your car on the way home and tune in 1370 and kind of, you know, just get a take on what's going on. We'll hopefully maybe get the odd driver or two.
Yeah, hopefully so. But yeah, that's what we do every year for every motorsports event. Jonathan, you were out there working this weekend for the Trans Am.
And last weekend as well, ironically.
Last weekend at Rallycross.
I did Rallycross last weekend and then time for something completely different, Trans Am this weekend. Yeah, I love it.
Rallycross to Trans Am. That is
right, isn't it?
I love that the voice of Trans Am is a Brit.
I know, and it's so funny that I met Tony Perella, and he goes, "Oh, I heard your dulcet English tones over the Trans Am," and it's funny because I now know there's a history to this because Lee Diffie used to do Trans Am years ago before.
I didn't know that.
And so I think there's a sort of energy that they like about it. I don't know, but for whatever reason, he's an Aussie, but you know, I think the it's just different, and I also think that. I'm passionate about Trans Am. I love it. I really do. And it goes back to that, you know, the electric thing. I love pure racing. I just love the idea of it being simple. Man, beast against beast, engine against engine, and have at it.
Yeah. No no computer aids. Well, yeah,
none of this DRS rubbish.
Yeah, it was fun this weekend. We got a couple of interviews from that this weekend, too, that we're going to play here in a minute. But you know what? Let's go ahead and take our next break and get that out of the way, and then we'll have some of those interviews from Trans Am. You're listening to Speed City, back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
You can take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
You've heard it all before. Save your hard-earned money for a rainy day. But what if you had an extra $1,000 laying around to buy that irresistible infomercial product you came across at 2 a.m.?
Well, I am running a little low on Flex Glue.
It's the Big Cash Bribe on Talk 1370.
I also need a shake weight, Snuggie.
Don't forget some pet eggs.
Coming Monday. Listen every hour weekdays between 9 and 5 for your chance to win $1,000 with Talk 1370. This is a national contest. Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hi, this is Ryan DeElk, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, hey, before we talk Trans Am, the producer's getting some clips ready for us. Why don't we talk MotoGP? Because an amazing thing happened today, this morning.
In the early hours of this morning.
Yeah, Marc Marquez won the championship this year, and that's his 8th championship. And how old is Marc Marquez?
I want to say he's still in his 20s.
I've got some notes here in my show doc I'm looking for. But
well, you find out how old he is. But let me just wax rhapsodic. 8th wonder of the world. 8 world titles, 6 of them in MotoGP. He won the 1-2-5s or Moto3 the Moto2 championship before that. And he's racing against the likes of Lorenzo and Valentino Rossi. I never thought in my lifetime I would ever see a phenom like Valentino Rossi. And he continues to be a Michael Jordan of the sport. But this kid is everything. I mean, he won the race in Thailand this weekend by inches again. But he didn't need to win, you know.
Yeah, he didn't have to win to win the championship.
But it's the style he does it in. It's just phenomenal.
What you just said is that you didn't think it would happen in your lifetime. In other words, we've all seen Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
we didn't expect to have the another Michael Jordan who's maybe better than Valentino Rossi. I mean, because here are the numbers. So he's 26 years old, right? So he's the youngest ever rider
to win. So he's got another 10 years.
Yeah, at least. But so he's the youngest rider ever to win six premier class titles at the age of 26 years.
Won his first race here?
Yeah, exactly. We saw the beginning of the Mark Marquez era right here at COTA in 2013.
I remember interviewing him for Fox.
April of 2013.
Took him to Bubba's. Yep. That's what it was. We took him to Bubba's.
We took him to Bubba's. It was a rattlesnake biscuits or whatever.
Something out, yeah. Good fun.
But Agostini was the next youngest, by the way.
Yeah, and what a phenom he was.
Marquez is also the youngest rider of all time to reach the milestone of 8 world championships, including going all the way back to the...
But it's his percentage win. You know, I think he's not been on... I think he's been on the podium 14 times this year, including 9 wins. I mean... You know, those stats when you're at the highest level are unbelievable. It's not like the competition are rubbish and he's he's not in a weak field of riders. The riders he's riding against are awesome.
Yeah, these numbers are just insane. So he joined Valentino Rossi and Giacomo Agostini as one of only 3 riders to have taken 6 or more premier class world championships. So he's already at the top of that list.
Mm-hmm.
And he has won all of his motorcycle MotoGP titles riding a Honda and moves above Mick Doohan as the rider with the most premier class 5 titles with a Japanese manufacturer.
Yeah, he had 5.
Yeah. And I mean, so he has won at least 5 GPs per season over the past 10 years across 3 different categories, 125s, Moto2, MotoGP. Beating his own record, he said, over the last couple of years.
By the way, after his win...
It just goes on and on like this.
And by the way, he was in hospital on Friday morning.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, he fell off his bike, and he had to that was the other thing. He had a completely new bike and had to have a checkout because he had quite a heavy crash on Friday. But that's, I mean, you know, when you're 26, you bounce back. And I also love, what I do love about him, I don't know if you watched it, but if you get a chance, go look up 8 ball Marquez, because his celebrations have been so cool. And he remains that.
He's like a kid.
I was about to say that childish exuberance that Rossi's always had, and he's 40.
Yes, he still has it.
He still has it. And I think that Marquez, that's where he's always had him as an idol, and now they're rivals, and they fell out a few times, but it's all good stuff. And I love that. I love to see sportsmen be enjoying and living the moment. And, you know, what are the meditation people say? Live in the moment. And he is. Yeah. And that's why he's so successful.
Well, it's been so much fun to watch him. It's been amazing to watch him.
I'm privileged to be here to watch him as well.
Yeah, and to see him get his start. And you know what? I think it was maybe his second win here at COTA. What stands out in my mind, and it is Mark Marquez, is when he came around turn 20 at COTA. He's just about to finish the race. I mean, just about to win the race. Nobody's even close to him. And he's just totally wild and out of control. The bike is...
It's
all over the place, and he's just that millimeter close to crashing.
I think even bull riders can appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing he does the full 8 seconds every 8 seconds.
And you couldn't see it, but you could see it mentally, the smile on his face as he's completely out of control, but that's just his style.
I'll trump that moment. What about in qualifying, 2 minutes to go, his bike conks out.
Oh, yeah.
Parks it, runs back, gets on the other bike, gets out, gets past the line with 2 seconds to go to do a flying lap, does the fastest lap of the weekend to
gets
take pole.
Yeah.
That is style.
Yeah, and you have to watch that clip. You could probably YouTube, but it is the fact that he ran. He didn't just run. He ran like
with his helmet
the
on.
Whole length of the coat.
Yeah, and he's only a little fella.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy.
I love him.
Hey, before we leave motorcycles, I want to talk about our sponsor, Ducati Austin. Those guys have been...
And Ducati San Antonio.
That's what I was leading up to.
Okay.
We talked about it, I guess, a month or so ago. They have now taken over the Ducati San Antonio. And
also got Triumph with that as well.
Yeah, they got Triumph down there too. But what was really cool is that I heard this from one of our listeners that bought a motorcycle from them.
Yeah.
He said that he hadn't been in Austin all his life, but he said that Ducati Austin is one of those guys that is... just treats like a true small business that's a part of the community. Yeah. And I just had to say this on the air. I mean, they're paying and they're being on our commercial spots every week. But when a customer, you know, just goes out of their way to tell me that, that's the way they get treated fantastic every time. And if they ever have a problem, it's taken care of. You know, that traditional small business customer service.
And you know what? What I also love about them, it's a really, from the engineers, the mechanics, everybody that works there, they are well aware when you walk in the door, they don't go, can this guy afford a Ducati and treat you as such? They go, welcome to the Emporium. Look at these amazing motorcycles. Let me talk about them to you. Anyway, this is the Scrambler. This is the Diablo. And that's what I love about it. You may not have, you know, what it takes to be able to afford one of these absolutely beautiful Italian machines. But boy, can you enjoy an afternoon out there. They've got fantastic clothing as well. I've got some great boots from them.
Dude,
they're shirts.
They're just not, I mean, they're not that expensive. I mean, no.
And Kathy's always a yarn to go and
they're shop. More than your, they're more than your Suzuki Yamaha Honda, but, you know, there's plenty of them under 20 grand.
Well, and that's the example. I won't use another manufacturer's name, but I've walked on shop floors of other, you know, and you get some sales guy going, well, you know, the 125 and the 250 are this. And I'm thinking, dude, you don't know who I am. And I've been around motorcycles all my life. And that's fine. And I don't go, you know,
I don't pretend
I know anything about motorcycles. But the point is, I don't need some do-good salesman telling me about the pistons on the Ducati. I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, sorry for that commercial, but those guys are so great. So we just got to talk about them. But all right. Hey, Jonathan, why don't you set up? We got the first interview I want to hear is Mark Miller from Trans Am.
So Mark, this is a really good story. Mark Miller has been in Trans Am quite a few years. Hasn't had the success of Rafa Matos, who's been kind of dominating in TA2 for the last couple of years, the Brazilian. But Mark hit the mark this time, really did so, and won for Prefix on the 40th anniversary for Prefix, his engine supplier, and a great time to win for Dodge too. Did it in a Dodge Challenger, but he did it in total style today because he only needed to actually cross the start finish to start the race, which would have, you know, basically meant he'd won the championship. But more than that, he fought all the way with Scott Lagacy Jr., who was involved in that flipping accident at Watkins Glen a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he won the race. And he did it in style. He was very emotional. He's great to talk to. Anyway, I spoke to him on the podium right after the race, and this is what he had to say.
Lunch break?
Yeah.
Well, Mark Miller, as we sit here, and you did take a deep breath, it is now time to reflect. You are the champion of 2019.
Yeah.
How did you do it?
Oh, now it's starting to hit me, so. I don't know. It's like, never give up. Always have a plan, always have focus. Minimize your losses and mistakes. And when you have things right, you take every advantage of it. And about halfway through the season, we were hanging in there. We were leading the championship, but then Rafa was making a commitment to go for fast times, poles, race laps. Detroit, I thought we were in great shape after Detroit. And it helped that, you know, Rafa didn't have the greatest Detroit. You know, I think he was going too hard. And that kind of helped us out. But Detroit was really difficult for us. It was our first bad event. And after that, we collectively sat down and said, here's what we need to change on this car. Here's how we need to make it better. And we went to Indianapolis and we put everything down. And when everyone else was trying different things, we knew exactly what we were doing to make the car right. And that's the type of racing that I got hungry for. Mid-Ohio was no different. The approach was different. It wasn't playing it safe. We were trying to win practice. We were trying to get pole. We were trying to get fastest race lap. We were trying to lead every lap and not rest at all on getting a good points weekend. It wasn't about that. And I forgot about the championship. I really just didn't care. My dad would text me points, and I was like, I just delete. It's like, I love you, Dad, but I you know. And when I come to the race, I'm here to coach and race. And I really have a tough time because I miss my wife and my kids, and I have to look at it like that. Like, I'm coming here to do a job, and I love it. I love the job. But it's still, you can't just love something and just like have three beers at night and kick your feet up and watch a football game. It's like, I'm going over data, I'm looking at it, how we can improve, how we can get better. So I think that's how you win championships. And you surround yourself with a great team that has great mechanics and a great work ethic, and what they do during the week helps us not have any off time. Like, I think I missed one session all year, and it was like kind of a fluke thing. So when you get in a position like that, it gives you every bit more opportunity to improve. And those the SMR guys really did a great job. We had great support from Prefix, Prefix companies, not just from the main company, which does a lot more than engine development and a lot more than engine support, but the team that comes to these races to support over half the field with Prefix power. They're there downloading, looking at it, making sure things are right, engine's running strong, and it's one less thing to worry about. And I never worried about that Prefix Hemi, not once, all year. Never worried about a DNF because of engine failure, a DNF because of the spark plug wire coming off. Never even worried about DNF on the car itself. I just focused on driving, and that's, I think all of that adds up. That's a long-winded answer, but you know, it takes all of that, I think, to win the championship.
And you know what? Today is obviously a great microcosm of everything that's gone before, because not only did you win it in style, you were under pressure, you got the pole. It's been a good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it worthwhile. I mean, this, as far as a storybook goes, the only thing that can make it better is have my Tabitha here and the kids here. That's the only thing that can make it better for me, my family. Having my family here to see this and be part of it, because they deserve every bit of the accolades that in the champagne shower that the team and I get. But to be able to do exactly what I set to do, and then have the race like we had with Scott, who just overcame so much to be here, and then to lead the race and snooker me on the start, and then run clean through turn two together side by side. That's what Trans Am racing is like. That's what Trans Am racing should be like every race, from every driver, and they should show those replays at every driver's meeting and say, if you want to race, this is how you should be racing. And that made me smile. Like, I was laughing. I was like, you know, I'll say it, like, damn it. Like, he got me, he beat me. But I just kept pressure on him, and I knew where I was stronger, and I knew he was trying to keep me behind him, and it's hot out here. Cars are gonna get sideways, and if I didn't make a mistake, and he said the same thing when I got in front of him. He goes, you didn't make enough mistakes. And I was like, that's what I was trying not to do, is make mistakes. And we were really closely matched. But I think what helped was the fact that we unloaded fast. I didn't have to learn anything here, because I really like this track, and I know what's important. And I've been teaching it to the guys in our trailer all week. And it really helped the fact that he didn't learn it until like four or five laps in. So it was a lot of fun. And it was pretty great to stand on the podium. I wouldn't have really been happier with anything less.
Perfect. Lovely. Good to talk to you, man.
There you go. What a guy. And sorry about the droning commentator in the background, but yeah, they tend to do that. But I love working with Mark. He's real.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hi, this is Ryan DeYeld, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, hey, before we talk Trans Am, the producer's getting some clips ready for us. Why don't we talk MotoGP? Because really, an amazing thing happened today, this morning.
In the early hours of this morning.
Yeah, Marc Marquez won the championship this year, and that's his eighth championship. And how old is Marc Marquez?
I want to say he's still in his 20s.
He's I've got a little some notes here in my show doc I'm looking for. But
you find out how old he is. But let me just wax rhapsodic. Eighth wonder of the world. Eight world titles, six of them in MotoGP. He won the 125s or Moto3 the Moto2 championship before that. And he's racing against the likes of Lorenzo and Valentino Rossi. I never thought in my lifetime I would ever see a phenom like Valentino Rossi. And he continues to be a Michael Jordan of the sport. But this kid is everything. I mean, he won the race in Thailand this weekend by inches again. But he didn't need to win, you know.
Yeah, he didn't have to win to win the championship.
But it's the style he does it in. It's just phenomenal.
What you just said is that you didn't think it would happen in your lifetime. In other words, we've all seen Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
We didn't expect to have another Michael Jordan who's maybe better than Valentino Rossi. I mean, because here are the numbers. So he's 26 years old, right? So he's the youngest ever rider to win.
So he's got another 10, at least 10 years.
Yeah, at least. But so he's the youngest rider ever to win six premier class titles at the age of 26 years.
Won his first race here?
Exactly. We saw the beginning of the Marc Marquez era right here at COTA in 2013.
I remember interviewing him for Fox.
April of 2013.
Took him to Bubba's. Yep. That's what it was. We took him to Bubba's.
We took him to Bubba's. It was a rattlesnake biscuits or whatever.
Good fun.
But Agostini was the next youngest, by the way.
Yeah, and what a phenom he was.
Marquez is also the youngest rider of all time to reach the milestone of eight world championships, including going all the way back to the...
But it's his percentage win. You know, I think he's been on the podium 14 times this year, including nine wins. I mean, you know, those stats when you're at the highest level are unbelievable. It's not like the competition are rubbish and he's not in a weak field of riders. The riders he's riding against are awesome.
Yeah, these numbers are just insane. So he joined Valentino Rossi and Giacomo Agostini as one of only three riders to have taken six or more premier class world championships. So he's already at the top of that list.
Mm-hmm.
And he has won all of his motorcycle MotoGP titles riding a Honda and moves above Mick Doohan as the rider with the most premier class titles with the Japanese manufacturer.
Yeah, he had five.
Yeah. And so he has won at least five GPs per season over the past 10 years across three different categories, 125s, Moto2, MotoGP. Beating his own record, he said, over the last couple of years.
By the way, after his wins...
It just goes on and on like this.
And by the way, he was in hospital on Friday morning.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, he fell off his bike, and he had to that was the other thing. He had a completely new bike and had to have a checkout because he had quite a heavy crash on Friday, But that's, I mean, you know, when you're 26, you bounce back. And I also love, what I do love about him, well, I don't know if you watched it, but if you get a chance, go look up Eight Ball, yeah. Marquez, because his celebrations have been so cool. Yeah. And he remains that.
He's like a kid.
I was about to say that childish exuberance that Rossi's always had, and he's 40.
Yes, yeah, he still has it.
He still has it. And I think that Marquez, that's where he's always had him as an idol, and now they're rivals, and they fell out a few times, but it's all good stuff. And I love that. I love to see sportsmen be enjoying and living the moment. And, you know, what are the meditation people say? Live in the moment. And he is. Yeah. And that's why he's so successful.
Well, it's been so much fun to watch him. It's been amazing to watch him.
I'm privileged to be here to watch him as well.
Yeah, and to see him get his start. And you know what? I think it was maybe his second win here at COTA. What stands out in my mind, and it is just is Marc Marquez, is when he came around turn 20 at COTA. He's just about to finish the race. I mean, just about to win the race. Nobody's even close to him, and he's just totally wild and out of control. The bike is is all over the place, and he's just that millimeter close to crashing.
I think even bull riders can appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing he does the full 8 seconds every 8 seconds.
And you could you couldn't see it, but you could see it mentally, the smile on his face as he's completely out of control, but that's just his style.
I'll trump that moment. What about in qualifying, 2 minutes to go, his bike conks out. Parks it, runs back, gets on the other bike, gets out, gets past the line with 2 seconds to go to do a flying lap, does the fastest lap of the weekend to
gets
take pole.
Yeah.
That is style.
Yeah, and you have to watch that clip. You could probably YouTube, but it is the fact that he ran. He didn't just run. He ran like
with his helmet
the
on.
Whole length of the coat.
Yeah, and he's only a little fella.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy.
I love him.
Hey, before we leave motorcycles, I want to talk about our sponsor, Ducati Austin. Those guys have been...
Ducati San Antonio.
That's what I was leading up to.
Okay.
We talked about it, I guess, a month or so ago. They have now taken over the Ducati San Antonio. And
also got Triumph with that as well.
Yeah, they got Triumph down there too. But what was really cool is that I heard this from one of our listeners that bought a motorcycle from them.
Yep.
He said that he's not always... No, he hadn't been in Austin all his life. But he said that Ducati Austin is one of those guys that is... just treats like a true small business that's a part of the community. Yeah. And I just had to say this on the air. I mean, they're paying and they're on our commercial spots every week. But when a customer, you know, just goes out of their way to tell me that's the way they get treated fantastic every time. And if they ever have a problem, it's taken care of. You know, that traditional small business customer service.
And you know what? What I also love about them, it's a really, from the engineers, the mechanics, everybody that works there, they are well aware when you walk in the door, they don't go, can this guy afford a Ducati and treat you as such? They go, welcome to the Emporium. Look at these amazing motorcycles. Let me talk about them to you. Anyway, this is the Scrambler. This is the DL. And that's what I love about it. You may not have, you know, what it takes to be able to afford one of these absolutely beautiful Italian machines, but boy, can you enjoy an afternoon out there. They've got fantastic clothing as well. I've got some great boots from them.
Dude,
their shirts.
They're just not, I mean, they're not that expensive. I mean, no.
And Kathy's always a yarn to go and
shop. They're more than your Suzuki Yamaha Honda, but, you know, there's plenty of them under 20 grand.
Well, and that's the example. I won't use another manufacturer's name, but I've walked on shop floors of other, you know, and you get some sales guy going, well, you know, the 125 and the 250 are this. And I'm thinking, dude, you don't know who I am. And I've been around motorcycles all my life. And that's fine. And I don't go, you know, pretend I know anything about motorcycles. But the point is, I don't need some do-good salesman telling me about the pistons on the Ducati. I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, sorry for that commercial, but those guys, they're so great. So we just got to talk about them. But all right. Hey, Jonathan, why don't you set up? We got the first interview I want to hear is Mark Miller from Trans Am.
So Mark, this is a really good story. Mark Miller has been in Trans Am quite a few years. Hasn't had the success of Rafa Matos, who's been kind of dominating in TA2 for the last couple of years, the Brazilian. But Mark hit the mark this time, really did so, and won for Prefix on the 40th anniversary for Prefix, his engine supplier, and a great time to win for Dodge too. Did it in a Dodge Challenger, but he did it in total style today because he only needed to actually cross the start-finish to start the race, which would have, you know, basically meant he'd won the championship. But more than that, he fought all the way with Scott Lagacy Jr., who was involved in that flipping accident at Watkins Glen a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he won the race. And he did it in style. He was very emotional. He's great to talk to. Anyway, I spoke to him on the podium right after the race, and this is what he had to say.
Lunch break?
Yeah. Well, Mark Miller, as we sit here, and he did take a deep breath, it is now time to reflect. You are the champion of 2019. Yeah. How did you do it?
Oh, now it's starting to hit me, so. I don't know. It's like, never give up. Always have a plan, always have focus. Minimize your losses and mistakes. And when you have things right, you take every advantage of it. And about halfway through the season, we were hanging in there. We were leading the championship, but then Rafa was making a commitment to go for fast times, poles, race laps. Detroit, I thought we were in great shape after Detroit. And it helped that, you know, Rafa didn't have the greatest Detroit. You know, I think he was going too hard. And that kind of helped us out. But Detroit was really difficult for us. It was our first bad event. And after that, we collectively sat down and said, here's what we need to change on this car. Here's how we need to make it better. And we went to Indianapolis and we put everything down. And when everyone else was trying different things, we knew exactly what we were doing to make the car right. And that's the type of racing that I got hungry for. Mid-Ohio was no different. The approach was different. It wasn't playing it safe. We were trying to win practice. We were trying to get pole. We were trying to get fastest race lap. We were trying to lead every lap and not rest at all on getting a good points weekend. It wasn't about that. And I forgot about the championship. I really just didn't care. My dad would text me points, and I was like, I just delete. It's like, I love you, Dad, but I you know. And when I come to the race, I'm here to coach and race. And I really have a tough time because I miss my my wife and my kids, and I have to look at it like that. Like, I'm coming here to do a job, and I love it. I love the job. But it's still, you can't just love something and just like have three beers at night and kick your feet up and watch a football game. It's like, I'm going over data, I'm looking at it, how we can improve, how we can get better. So I think that's how you win championships. And you surround yourself with a great team that has great mechanics and a great work ethic, and what they do during the week helps us not have any off time. Like, I think I missed one session all year. And it was like kind of a fluke thing. So when you get in a position like that, it gives you every bit more opportunity to improve. And those the SMR guys really did a great job. We had great support from Prefix. Prefix companies, not just from the main company, which does a lot more than engine development and a lot more than engine support, but the team that comes to these races to support over half the field with Prefix power, they're there downloading, looking at it, making sure things are right, engine's running strong, and it's one less thing to worry about. And I never worried about that Prefix Hemi, not once all year. Never worried about a DNF because of engine failure, a DNF because of the spark plug wire coming off. Never even worried about DNF on the car itself. I just focused on driving, and that's, I think all of that adds up. That was a long-winded answer, but you know, it takes all of that, I think, to win a championship.
And you know what? Today is obviously a great microcosm of everything that's gone before, because not only did you win it in style, you were under pressure, you got the pole. It's been a good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it worthwhile. I mean, as far as a storybook goes, the only thing that can make it better is to have my Tabitha here and the kids here. That's the only thing that can make it better for me, my family. Having my family here to see this and be part of it, because they deserve every bit of the accolades that in the champagne shower that the team and I get. And but to be able to do exactly what I set to do, and then have the race like we had with Scott, who just overcame so much to be here, just to be here, and then to lead the race and snooker me on the start and then run clean through turn two together side by side. That's what Trans Am racing is like. That's what Trans Am racing should be like every race from every driver. And they should show those replays at every driver's meeting and say, if you want to race, this is how you should be racing. And that made me smile. Like, I was laughing. I was like, you know, I'll say it, like, damn it. Like, he got me, he beat me. But I just kept pressure on him, and I knew where I was stronger, and I knew he was trying to keep me behind him, and it's hot out here. Cars are gonna get sideways, and if I didn't make a mistake, and he said the same thing when I got in front of him, he goes, you didn't make enough mistakes. And I was like, that's what I was trying not to do, is make mistakes. And we were really closely matched. But I think what helped was the fact that we unloaded fast. I didn't have to learn anything here because I really like this track and I know what's important. And I've been teaching it to the guys in our trailer all week. And it really helped the fact that he didn't learn it until like four or five laps in. So it was a lot of fun. And it was pretty great to stand on the podium. I wouldn't have really been happier with anything less.
Perfect. Lovely. Good to talk to you, man.
There you go. What a guy. And sorry, yeah, sorry about the droning commentator in the background, but yeah, they tend to do that. But that was, I love working with Mark. He's a real heart on his sleeve kind of guy.
God, I can't talk about how hot it was today. It was just, I know all the drivers were saying it too.
And Hemi, your team.
Oh, yeah, the Hemis, man, the Prefix, those guys make the Hemi crate engines.
Yeah.
Everything from the old classics, 427 Hemis, up to the modern day classics, you know, the modern Hemi engines. So that's a fantastic company that he's working for. So I'm glad he won in a Dodge. So, all right, we got to take a break. Let's go ahead and get this in now. And you're listening to Speed City live from Austin, back after these messages.
Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dainese leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Doctor, won't you please prescribe me something? A day in the life of someone else. Cause I'm a hazard to my.
I'm Steve Arpin, drive the Jacob Company's Ford Fiesta for Lone Bro Chip Ganassi Racing. You're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we're going to continue to talk some Trans Am.
Arpino was in, he was on the podium last weekend.
That's right, that's Steve right. Arpin. Steve Arpin was here. He's a fun guy.
He's great fun.
We're going to continue Trans Am talk, but after this, we're going to play one more interview. But after that, we're going to talk some Formula One because they released the 2020 calendar.
Talk about that.
Yeah, and United States has moved its position. So we're going to talk about that in later in the show. But let's go straight into this next interview.
Yeah, and this is the juxtaposition, if you will. We've talked to the champion. I want to talk to a rookie and a girl that's doing it on her own with Grrr Racing, her own team.
GRRR Racing.
Yeah, Michelle Abate, great girl, and taking it to the boys in the toughest game of TA2. I spoke to her about the team and how she got into racing Trans Am. Well, Michelle, great to talk, catch up with you, especially on this special day. Tell us.
Yeah, today is a pretty big one for me. It's my 100th career start. I wouldn't have it any other way to be here with Trans Am or TA2 car. It's been a dream of mine for a long time. It's my rookie year. And just what a great facility to be at, too. COTA is an amazing place. My first time here, so a lot of learning to do, but looking forward to it.
Well, let's talk about how you got to this point. Where did you start and how did you get into racing?
So I started in club racing. I started in autocross, but that's not really racing in my book, but we don't want to offend anybody. But so I started in autocross. Then I did some club racing. I did SCCA US Majors Tour, won a championship there. And then I started to run a GT1 car in SCCA, went to runoffs, got third in GT1 my first year at runoffs, which is really cool, last year. And then I progressed into buying my TA2 car and running the West Coast Series. And it's my first year in Trans Am. We're learning a lot, but really happy to be here.
What is it about Trans Am that attracts you?
You know, the first time I got into a tube chassis car, I didn't know what I was getting into, and I didn't know what I was missing. And these cars are just the most fun cars to drive. I always say they're just badass. That's the best way I can put it. I have a lot to learn in the seat, but I feel really good, really comfortable. As we have seen, they're super safe, and I enjoy the power, and it stays cool. You don't have any kind of turbo or supercharger to create more heat, and it's just a very reliable program to be in. Another side of that would be TA2 is extremely affordable in a pro racing aspect. So it's just a pleasure to be here, and I'm very proud of what we've done this year.
So tell me a little about the learning aspect, because you've got a long winter to think about it. What particularly about the driving side of it are you learning?
Well, ultimately it's a bigger car than I'm used to, and it's more horsepower than I'm used to. So it's almost double what I'm used to driving. And then you've got the Gleason rear end, so there's some finesse there when you're driving that. The H pattern sequential gearbox is definitely different than your standard H pattern. And just a matter of balancing the car, being able to understand the weight transfer and being smooth with those inputs, and then of course being patient when you get on throttle, because if you're not patient, you're going to be getting sideways, which is a lot of fun, but it's just not very fast.
I interview a lot of women from single seaters to rallycross and all the way up to Danica in the past. Is the world changing for women in racing? Because it's been a misogynic world, and it's been the biggest story I always get is it's really hard to nail down sponsors, and I can see from your car you've done a really good job. But how is it as a woman in racing?
You know, I have always said the same thing, and I think it's great. The focus is really high right now on women in motorsports, but I think every driver out there faces the same adversities to getting sponsorship. And I think, where there's a will, there's a way. And I've worked extremely hard to get to where I am, and obviously, I'm Gurr Racing, and that's the biggest one on the car. So we haven't quite made it yet, but I think that it's great to see the focus on women. It's great to see the progression and the advancement, but I don't think the struggle is as hard as a lot of women say it is. I think it's a matter of what you put into it and how you go about it and your results as well. So it's a touchy subject sometimes, and I'm okay with that, but I know where I stand and I'm confident where I come from, and I think that everybody faces that same hard road to get there, and I can definitely feel it being the team owner of this car. I'm not driving for anybody but myself, and that's a different sight to see too. So I love the focus on it, and I hope that I can maybe be somebody that can show what women can do, but I don't think it's a full encompassment of a disadvantage or anything like that.
Tell us a little bit about that unique side of owning a team, Gurr Racing, and how much pressure that puts on you, because you've got to go fast, you've got to get up, but you've got to organize everybody else, and that's a lot to take on.
I've learned about myself that I enjoy a very full plate. If I don't have a full plate, I don't feel like I'm accomplishing much. So at this point, it's more of like, I've done this for a while. I've always kind of managed my own team, and it makes it easier to make decisions. You don't have to go to other people and ask if you can do something or partner with somebody. But at the same time, it's a lot of work, and there's a lot that we don't know. We don't know a lot about the setup on these cars. We have to lean on our competitors for help and advice, which Trans Am has been a great place to be for that. I've actually been more received here than I was in club racing, which is kind of pretty cool. Maybe that's because we're not the fastest car out there yet. I think if we start to make our way up, we might not have as many friends, but that's okay because I'm used to that too.
Finally then, it's the 100th race today of your career. It's going to be kind of nostalgic, I would have thought, and it's a great circuit to be at. What are your aspirations? I know you haven't got the grid position you want, but what would you be happy with?
Well, honestly, I'm always happy with finishing. Finishing for me right now is a big deal. So that's my goal today, is to finish, and I think we'll achieve that and more. If we can make a couple positions on the West Coast side of things, that would be great. I'm definitely focused on the West Coast series, so I have a lot of respect for the National Tour, and I don't want to mess anything up for them. So I understand my position on the track, and I understand that I respect where they're at, but they need to respect where I'm at too. You know, we're all out there racing. But yeah, as for a goal for my 100th race, I'm hoping I can secure the 5th spot overall championship in Trans Am West Coast series. So that's the goal. We're currently 7th. So if we can make up the points to take a top five for my first year in Trans Am, that would be amazing.
Listening to your enthusiasm, it sounds like you're coming back in 2020.
Yes, I plan on it. We're working on some things. The major goal would be to run the national tour, but that's a big step up. So right now we're focused on today, and we will get the results that we do today, and we'll push on forward. But yes, I believe you'll be seeing me next year for sure.
Best of luck, Michelle.
Thank you. Fantastic
talking to you, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
I like her.
Yeah, and you know, hey, no mean feat. I mean, I love getting inspiring stories, and she's one of those because she runs the team.
Yeah.
And she's an inspiration to young girls looking at motorsport, and I wish we could get more women involved in motorsport. I don't understand why not. And it's just a history thing, but it's happening. We've got the W Series now, and yeah, great to talk to her.
Yeah, it was fun this weekend. It was great. All right, hey, I want to talk
about... And by the way, she did get right through. She started at the back, and she made up three or four places. I don't know if she got the fifth in the West title, but hey, she had a good day.
Yeah, she had a good weekend. Hey, let's talk Formula One calendar, because
yes.
They released it just in the last few days, the 2020 calendar, including all mm-hmm. the test days and everything. But I obviously immediately run down to the COTA dates, and I've noticed... Coda and Mexico have swapped for next year.
Yeah, I'm actually pleased about that because we've got a good run-up from Japan on October 11th, and the USA Austin Grand Prix will be October 25th, followed immediately the following weekend by Mexico. And I prefer that because I want it to come here first. But I do like the back-to-back because, again, the focus is on North America and Mexico for that. That week, that's a really strong week at the end of October.
Yeah, that's the 1 year we were 1 week apart. I mean, one race apart, I believe, with Mexico, and it just didn't make any sense.
And
anybody traveling, of course, it makes sense.
And a couple of years ago, we were followed by Brazil, and it just you lose the sort of impetus. It's kind of like, well, do we tune into Brazil? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're trying to build it, and I like the back to back in some way.
Yeah, and then the testing at the beginning of the season, they put all the dates. You know, we got Barcelona, of course.
On my birthday?
February
20th.
Yep, there it is. And, of course, we start off with Australia, March 15th. So
I want to go to Australia if Speed City, as usual, get the checkbook out. But if not, I'll go to Vietnam. How about that?
Yep, but, you know, one thing we hadn't even mentioned is there's 22 dates on this calendar.
That's it's going to be one of the biggest seasons ever.
Yeah,
isn't
it going to be the biggest ever?
I think it is actually.
I'm pretty sure that is.
Yeah, Bernie struggled for a long time. He actually wanted to add dates, and in fact, it could be a whole subject we could talk about because there's quite a lot of argument about this because it means that these mechanics, especially, spend so much time away from their families that they might have to start splitting the travel away teams. And almost have, a roster.
That would be interesting.
A rota. Mm. So that you don't have to be on the road. I mean, let's have a look at some of the places. Look at that. Well, I mean, can you imagine doing, how about this? So you live in England, let's say. And then in September, on September 20th, you go to Singapore, followed a week later by Russia, followed 2 weeks later by Japan. So then you got to go home and go back. And then followed by the United States. You go from Japan to the United States, then Mexico, then Brazil.
Zones?
Oh. And then Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi do. Stop it. Yeah. But, the one on here that makes us 22, Hanoi, Vietnam, April 5th.
And that is a brand new race in the capital of Vietnam. And it's a roller coaster ride. I've seen the track. I haven't personally seen the track, but I've seen the videos about it. And it's sort of half street circuit, half, it's a bit like, Azerbaijan. In terms of that, there's some long straights to it, so it's not like Monaco.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is two very distinct different sections to it, and I think it's going to be a blast. I love Vietnam. I've been myself. I actually did the first. I did a marathon, a half marathon.
All right, we're down to 1 minute. I had to talk about this article that was in the Hagerty magazine talking about the case for a Corvette SUV. You mentioned to me, and I immediately said, "You mean like Porsche?"
Yeah,
because they said it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea, and I'm a big Corvette fan.
Joseph Newgarden and get one of them.
Well, because if they could produce Porsche SUVs in the quantity that's what's really saved Porsche.
Yeah,
is the SUV.
And don't you think all the other manufacturers, foreign manufacturers, have taken over the SUV market in the States?
Yeah, I'd love it. All right, well, we're out of time. I want to talk about that more, but we are out of time. Check us out on our website. Listen to us on Formula One weekends, pre and post, national. Go to speedcitybroadcast.com to find all the information.
Imagine you're a Dragons and imagine pink. And you could be there in a few weeks.
All right, talk to y'all next week.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Doctor, doctor, won't you please prescribe me something? A day in the life of someone else. Cause I'm a hazard to myself. Don't let me get beaten up. I'm my own worst enemy.
Hey everyone, I'm Steve Arpin, driver of the Jacob Company's Ford Fiesta for Lone Bro Chip Ganassi Racing. You're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we're going to continue to talk some Trans Am.
Arpino was in. He was on the podium last weekend.
That's right. That's right. Steve Arpin was here. He's a fun guy.
He's great fun.
We're going to continue Trans Am talk, but after this, we're going to play one more interview. But after that, we're going to talk some Formula One because they released the 2020 calendar.
Talk about that.
Yeah, and United States has moved its position. So we're going to talk about that later in the show. But let's go straight into this next interview.
Yeah, and this is the juxtaposition, if you will. We've talked to the champion. I want to talk to a rookie and a girl that's doing it on her own with Grrr Racing, her own team.
GRRR Racing.
Yeah, Michelle Abate, great girl, and taking it to the boys in the toughest game of TA2. I spoke to her about the team and how she got into racing Trans Am.
Go ahead.
Well, Michelle, great to catch up with you, especially on this special day. Tell us.
Yeah, today is a pretty big one for me. It's my 100th career start. I wouldn't have it any other way to be here with Trans Am or TA2 car. It's been a dream of mine for a long time. It's my rookie year. And just what a great facility to be at, too. COTA is an amazing place. My first time here, so a lot of learning to do, but looking forward to it.
Well, let's talk about how you got to this point. Where did you start and how did you get into racing?
So I started in club racing. Actually, I started in autocross, but that's not really racing in my book, but we don't want to offend anybody. But so I started in autocross. Then I did some club racing. I did SCCA US Majors Tour, won a championship there. And then I started to run a GT1 car in SCCA, went to runoffs, got third in GT1 my first year at runoffs, which was really cool last year. And then I progressed into buying my TA2 car and running the West Coast Series. And it's my first year in Trans Am. We're learning a lot, but really happy to be here.
What is it about Trans Am that attracts you?
You know, the first time I got into a tube chassis car, I didn't know what I was getting into, and I didn't know what I was missing. And these cars are just the most fun cars to drive. I always say they're just badass. That's the best way I can put it. I have a lot to learn in the seat, but I feel really good, really comfortable. As we have seen, they're super safe, and I enjoy the power, and it stays cool. You don't have any kind of turbo or supercharger to create more heat, and it's just a very reliable program to be in. And the other side of that would be TA2 is extremely affordable in a pro racing aspect. So it's just a pleasure to be here, and I'm very proud of what we've done this year.
So tell me a little about the learning aspect, because you've got a long winter to think about it. What particularly about the driving side of it are you learning?
Well, ultimately it's a bigger car than I'm used to, and it's more horsepower than I'm used to. So it's almost double what I'm used to driving. And then you've got the Gleason rear end, so there's some finesse there when you're driving that. The H pattern sequential gearbox is definitely different than your standard H pattern. And just a matter of balancing the car, being able to understand the weight transfer and being smooth with those inputs, and then of course being patient when you get on throttle, because if you're not patient, you're going to be getting sideways, which is a lot of fun, but it's just not very fast.
I interview a lot of women from single seaters to rallycross and all the way up to Danica in the past. Is the world changing for women in racing? Because it's been a misogynic world, and it's been the biggest story I always get is it's really hard to nail down sponsors, and I can see from your car you've done a really good job, but how is it as a woman in racing?
You know, I said the same thing, and I think it's great. The focus is really high right now on women in motorsports, but I think every driver out there faces the same adversities to getting sponsorship. And I think, where there's a will, there's a way. And I've worked extremely hard to get to where I am. And obviously, I'm GER Racing, and that's the biggest one on the car. So we haven't quite made it yet. But I think that it's great to see the focus on women. It's great to see the progression and the advancement. But I don't think the struggle is as hard as a lot of women say it is. I think it's a matter of what you put into it and how you go about it and your results as well. So it's a touchy subject sometimes, and I'm okay with that, but I know where I stand and I'm confident where I come from, and I think that everybody faces that same hard road to get there, and I can definitely feel it being the team owner of this car. I'm not driving for anybody but myself, and that's a different sight to see too. So I love the focus on it, and I hope that I can maybe be somebody that can show what women can do, but I don't think it's a full encompassment of a disadvantage or anything like that.
Tell us a little bit about that unique side of owning a team, GER Racing, and how much pressure that puts on you, because you've got to go fast, you've got to get up, but you've got to organize everybody else, and that's a lot to take on.
I've learned about myself that I enjoy a very full plate. If I don't have a full plate, I don't feel like I'm accomplishing much. So at this point, it's more of I've done this for a while. I've always kind of managed my own team, and it makes it easier to make decisions. You don't have to go to other people and ask if you can do something or partner with somebody. But at the same time, it's a lot of work, and there's a lot that we don't know. We don't know a lot about the setup on these cars. We have to lean on our competitors for help and advice, which Trans Am has been a great place to be for that. I've actually been more received here than I was in club racing, which is kind of pretty cool. Maybe that's because we're not the fastest car out there yet. I think if we start to make our way up, we might not have as many friends, but that's okay because I'm used to that too.
Finally then, it's the 100th race today of your career. It's going to be kind of nostalgic, I would have thought, and it's a great circuit to be at. What are your aspirations? I know you haven't got the grid position you want, but what would you be happy with?
Well, honestly, I'm always happy with finishing. Finishing for me right now is a big deal. So that's my goal today, is to finish, and I think we'll achieve that and more. If we can make a couple positions on the West Coast side of things, that would be great. I'm definitely focused on the West Coast series, so I have a lot of respect for the National Tour, and I don't want to mess anything up for them. So I understand my position on the track, and I understand that I respect where they're at, but they need to respect where I'm at too. We're all out there racing. But yeah, as for a goal for my 100th race, I'm hoping I can secure the 5th spot overall championship in Trans Am West Coast series. So that's the goal. We're currently 7th. So if we can make up the points to take a top five for my first year in Trans Am, that would be amazing.
Listening to your enthusiasm, it sounds like you're coming back in 2020.
Yes, I plan on it. We're working on some things. The major goal would be to run the national tour, but that's a big step up. So right now we're focused on today, and we will get the results that we do today, and we'll push on forward. But yes, I believe you'll be seeing me next year for sure.
Best of luck, Michelle.
Thank you. Fantastic
talking to you, and good luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Her.
Yeah, and you know, hey, no mean feat. I mean, I love getting inspiring stories, and she's one of those because she runs the team, and she's an inspiration to young girls looking at motorsport, and I wish we could get more women involved in motorsport. I don't understand why not, and it's just a history thing, but it's happening. We've got the W Series now, and yeah, great to talk to her.
Yeah, it was fun this weekend. It was great. All right, hey, I want to talk
about... And by the way, she did get right through. She started at the back, and she made up three or four places. I don't know if she got the fifth in the West title, but hey, she had a good day.
Yeah, she had a good weekend. Hey, let's talk Formula One calendar, because they released it just in the last few days. The 2020 calendar, including all the test days and everything. But I obviously immediately run down to the COTA dates, and I've noticed... COTA and Mexico have swapped for next year.
Yeah, I'm actually pleased about that because we've got a good run-up from Japan on October 11th, and the USA Austin Grand Prix will be October 25th, followed immediately the following weekend by Mexico. And I prefer that because I want it to come here first. But I do like the back-to-back because, again, the focus is on North America and Mexico for that. That week, that's a really strong week at the end of October.
Yeah, that's the 1 year we were 1 week apart. I mean, one race apart, I believe, with Mexico, and it just didn't make any sense.
And
anybody traveling, of course, it makes sense.
And a couple of years ago, we were followed by Brazil, and it just, you know, you lose the sort of impetus. It's kind of like, well, do we tune into Brazil? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're trying to build it, and I like the back to back in some way.
Yeah, and then the testing at the beginning of the season, they put all the dates. You know, we got Barcelona, of course.
On my birthday?
February...
20th.
Yep, there it is. And, of course, we start off with Australia, March 15th. So
I want to go to Australia if Speed City, as usual, get the checkbook out. But if not, I'll go to Vietnam. How about that?
Yep, but, you know, one thing we hadn't even mentioned is there's 22 dates on this calendar.
It's going to be one of the biggest seasons ever.
Yeah, isn't it going to be the biggest ever?
I think it is actually.
I'm pretty sure that is.
Yeah, Bernie struggled for a long time. He actually wanted to add dates, and in fact, it could be a whole subject we could talk about because there's quite a lot of argument about this because it means that these mechanics, especially, spend so much time away from their families that they might have to start splitting the travel away teams. And almost have, you know, a roster.
That would be interesting.
A rota. So that you don't have to be on the road. I mean, let's have a look at some of the places. Look at that. Well, I mean, can you imagine doing, how about this? So you live in England, let's say. And then in September, on September 20th, you go to Singapore, followed a week later by Russia, followed 2 weeks later by Japan. So then you've got to go home and go back. And then followed by the United States. You go from Japan to the United States, then Mexico, then Brazil.
Zones?
Oh. And then Abu Dhabi.
Dhabi Dhabi do. Stop it. but, you know, the one on here that makes us 22, Hanoi, Vietnam, April 5th.
And that is a brand new race in the capital of Vietnam. And it's a roller coaster ride. I've seen the track. I haven't personally seen the track, but I've seen the videos about it. And it's sort of half street circuit, half, it's a bit like Azerbaijan. In terms of that, there's some long straights to it, so it's not like Monaco.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is two very distinct different sections to it, and I think it's going to be a blast. I love Vietnam. I've been myself. I actually did the first. I did a marathon, a half marathon.
All right, we're down to 1 minute. I had to talk about this article that was in the Hagerty magazine talking about the case for a Corvette SUV. And you mentioned to me, and I immediately said, you mean like Porsche?
Yeah.
Because they said it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea, and I'm a big Corvette fan.
Joseph Newgarden, get one of them.
Well, because if they could produce Porsche SUVs in the quantity, that's what's really saved Porsche, is the SUV.
And don't you think all the other manufacturers, foreign manufacturers, have taken over the SUV market in the States?
Yeah, I'd love it. All right, well, we're out of time. I want to talk about that more, but we are out of time. Check us out on our website. Listen to us on Formula One weekends, pre and post, national. Go to speedcitybroadcast.com to find all the information.
Imagine you're a Dragons and imagine pink. And you could be there in a few weeks.
All right, talk to y'all next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.